This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You are tuned into the Mount Vernon Missionary Baptist Church podcast for the week. Well, you will hear the teaching and the preaching of the senior pastor of Mount Vernon Missionary Baptist Church, the Reverend Matthew L. Browning. This podcast is an extension of the ministry where the Word of God is magnified, Jesus is glorified, and understanding is fortified. After the message, information will be given about our church location, phone number, and how to obtain a copy of this message in its entirety. So now, let's join Reverend Browning with the Word of God already in progress.
2 Chronicles 7 and 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attentive unto the prayer that it is made in this place. Lord, I need revival. Will you bow your heads with us? Father, we come before you right now. We're asking you, Lord, to send a revival, to help us to get right with you. And if we get right with you, Father, everything else will fall into place. Because, Lord God, the only thing that matters, that if we hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. And so, Father God, we want to be right in your sight. And, Lord God, we pray right now that you would remove Matthew Browning and allow the preacher to come forth. Let your word might be heard by your people and obeyed in their hearts, and show on the outside what is happening and going on in the inside of our hearts. We ask it right now. In the name of Jesus Christ do we pray. Amen and amen. Last week we begin a series of sermons about the need of revival. And there are biblical reasons or scriptures that gives us the conditions for revival. Last week we understand that revival and evangelism are closely related, but revival is different from evangelism. Revival and evangelism, although closely linked, are not to be confused. Revival is an experience in the church. Evangelism as an expression of the church. Amen. So when we have revival, we express that we have had revival in our lives. And therefore, the experience of revival expresses on the outside what has happened on the inside of our lives. Are you ready for God to do a work on the inside of you? Because we understand that the psalmist said in Psalm 138:7 from last week, our scripture reading, though I walk in the midst of trouble, though thou wilt revive me, though I walked in the midst of it, in the middle of it. Even before the songwriters had the song in the middle of it, the Lord had already said, I'll be with you in the middle of your situation. How many of you want the Lord to be with you in the middle of it? You know, a lot of people won't be with you in the middle of your stuff, the things that you're experiencing and going through. They'll wait for you to come out and then say, I'm there for you. Amen. And so he says, I will revive you or be with you in the middle of it, in the midst of trouble. Thou wilt revive me. You won't make a bridge over troubled water, but you will bring me through troubled waters. Amen. So we understand, and it says, thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. So we understand that we need revival. But there are conditions for us to receive revival. There's a condition there in 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, and the beginning at the 12th verse. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place. There is a specific place to myself. Amen. For an house of sacrifice. Amen. In order to have revival, you got to be willing to sacrifice some things. Amen. So if I shut up heaven, that thou be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. And then he says this verse that many of us know. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and then they got to do some turning around, turn from their wicked ways, then will I do what? Hear from where? Heaven. It don't make no difference to hear from the White House. I want them to hear from heaven, isn't that right? And I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Those are conditional clauses if we want revival. Amen? We want revival, but there has to be some things that we have to do ourselves. Amen? For those of you that are NIV readers, say, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple, right, for sacrifice. Amen? Sacrifice means something you got to give up, isn't that right? When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. What is revival? Revival, listen, renewed zeal to obey God. That's what revival is. When you experience revival, you want to obey God. It's renewed zeal to obey God, to do what God had called and told us to do. Amen? That's the first step toward revival is that do you know that you ought to obey God? Amen? Yeah, you want to obey God. That's one of the conditions. You got to obey God. So you can't ask God for revival and keep on living the same way you've been living. Amen? Now, some people want revival and some people don't. Amen. The people that want revival want to obey what God says do. The people that don't want revival want to keep on doing what they've been doing. Amen. But there are conditions there for us to obey and to do what God is doing. He says, in order for there to be revival, you need to have a renewed zeal to do what God has called us to do and to be who God has called us to be. You remember when you first got saved, I came to the Lord and you were born again. You wanted to live for God. Amen. Oh, boy, you wanted to say the right things. You wanted to do the right things. You wanted to be in the right place. But the longer you live for the Lord, sometimes you begin to drift away. Do I have any witnesses in here? That every once in a while, you can drift away. Amen. You can drift away off of course, and you realize in your life there needs to be revival. God then gave a personal promise to his people as he was speaking to Solomon. A promise that is at the very heart of this great book of Chronicles. In fact, the entire Old Testament, from beginning to end, the Old and New Testament, proclaim that the hand of God's judgment falls upon those who commit wickedness. Have you ever committed wickedness? Anybody in here ever committed wickedness? Have you ever committed wickedness? Anytime you sin, you're committing wickedness. Huh? Do we have any wicked people in the house? Have you ever been wicked? Have you ever thought about being wicked? Have you ever said some wicked things? Have you ever done some wicked things? Oh, all of us have done some wicked things. Isn't that right? Yeah, we might be a little too old to do them wicked things now. But we were young enough to do wicked things and hang out in wicked places. We know we were there. Isn't that right? But oh, now time brings about a change. Do I have any witnesses in the house? Oh, yeah, you ain't wicked no more because you can't be wicked no more. Amen? Yeah. God's judgment falls upon those who commit wickedness. Oh, my, you think about some people that done some bad things when you think about wickedness. But here the Lord is declaring to both Solomon, the head, and the people, his hand of judgment could be stopped. Huh? Yeah. His hand of judgment could be stopped. Now, you know, don't start looking around for people who you think are wicked. You know, when you say somebody wicked, you start thinking about people. Now, you know what, they wicked then. Amen. You know, how is it that when we start thinking about that, we forget about all the stuff we've done, and we start remembering the stuff somebody else done? Aren't you glad the Lord say he will remember our sins no more, and he will throw them into the sea of forgiveness and put up a sign saying no fishing? But how many of you been fishing in somebody else, trying to find out somebody else's stuff? You got to be careful when you fish on somebody, because you might catch some of your own stuff in that same pond. Isn't that right? Yeah. So we understand there are conditions for revival. So first of all, the Lord says they must confess. Isn't that right? The Lord. Be his people. We got to confess Jesus Christ. That's why when people come, I say, do you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? Now, listen. In the New Testament, when Jesus Christ came, they wanted somebody that can feed 5,000 with two fish and five loaves. They didn't listen. There must have been some of us out there because they were looking for a fish fry. Amen. This must be a good Savior. He can listen. He can call down croaker, brims, and whitings, and bass, and everything else. I'm gonna follow him. Isn't that right? But just as soon as Jesus said, live right and do right, don't sin no more, who he's supposed to be? Amen. We want a Savior. We don't want no Lord. Isn't that right? Yeah. If Jesus came to your house, you might let Jesus in the front door in the living room, but you don't want him to look into none of those closets that you got a whole bunch of stuff in that you should have thrown away a long time ago. Y'all know you got them junk rooms and junk closets, isn't that right? And even in our personal lives, we got some junk rooms, don't you? Oh, yeah, we let everybody see the front room on Sunday morning. Isn't that right? But, oh, we got some closets back yonder. They got some stuff in it. Isn't that right? The Lord said, I want to get in that stuff, that room that got that stuff in it. Isn't that right? And we know how to act like we got a clean house, don't we? So the Lord is saying to us, you got to clean up house. Isn't that right? Oh, yeah, I like the songwriter when he said, and before you sweep around my door, you better start sweeping around your own front door. Isn't that right? Yeah, you better straighten up yourself. Isn't that right? They must confess the Lord be his people. He is the only living and true God, the only Savior and Lord of the universe. You better start talking to him. Isn't that right? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Therefore, they must become his followers. You know, it's easy to follow somebody, you know, when the things are going good. You know, we good followers when things going good. We got money in the bank, good health, things going well with our families. And we come to church. Some of us do, some of us don't. Come to church and we praise the Lord. But just as soon as things go south, just as if things go bad, isn't that right? We ain't going to pay no more money in the church. We're not even going to come to church, warm the Bible up. Listen, you need a revival. Listen, understand that this passage of scripture is not to beat you down, not to make you feel bad. Because, listen, if your sins can stay the hand of God and cause God's judgment to come down upon you, if you do right, it'll cause God to bless you. I wish I had a witness in here. That when I'm doing the right thing, you know, when you're doing the right thing, you don't have to worry about looking over your shoulder. You don't have to worry about what lie you're going to tell, who you're going to tell it to. Isn't that right? Listen, when you're doing what's right, you don't have to remember when you tell the truth, do you? But oh, when you tell a lie, you got to remember who you told the lie to, what lie it was. Was it half of the truth, three-fourths of the truth, an eighth of the truth, who you told it to, when you told it, and do you remember what exactly you said to them? But when you're doing the right thing, isn't that right? Sirens can go off at night, the police can pass by you. How many of you ever had a tag that was out of date? And every time you saw the police, something on the inside made you kind of just, well, you know, you weren't planning on going to Bilo, but you just turn up in there anyhow. Yeah, because you know your stuff ain't right. Your tag is out of date, isn't that right? And when the police stop you, you got another action. Why you stop me? Huh? What you stop me for? Well, you're not in compliance with the law. And how many of you are glad that you're not under the law, but you're under grace? Isn't that right? But listen, that police don't know nothing about grace. He knows something about the law. Isn't that right? And now you got a ticket. You mad because you didn't do what you were supposed to do. Now watch this. Listen, they got to confess it. Isn't that right? Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The next thing that you got to do, the Bible says, and they must humble themselves. Listen, stop walking in church thinking it's all about you. Think that folk can start serving now that you here. Some folk walk up in here like I got 2 six-shooters on the side. And if there anybody to move or say anything to them, that they here now, you can start worship service. I'm here now. The Bible say, humble yourself. Don't think it's all about you. Isn't that right? Some folk don't even want some folk to get saved. Isn't that right? They know if some folk get saved, they might lose their seat on Sunday morning. They can't walk in here late and then walk and get their seat. Isn't that right? But the Bible says, listen, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Don't be so prideful. Don't think it's all about you because of what you drive, where you live, and how much money you got in the bank. Amen? Humble yourself and realize that you didn't get it all by yourself. That the Lord gives and the Lord can take away. Isn't that right? You better stop acting like you listen. You just arrived and it's all about you. And listen, you think that you don't need revival and you're doing everything right in your life. Listen, when you get all pumped up like that, oh, the Lord know how to bring you down, don't it? Isn't that right? Yeah, the Lord know how to bring you down. He said, humble them, humble yourselves. If my people, which are called by my name, would do what? Humble yourself. Young people, be careful how you talk to the elders. You better humble yourself. Isn't that right? Yeah, because the Lord will mess you up. The Bible said, be careful how you even correct an elder. You got to be careful how you step to people who are elders in the church of God. Amen? Yeah, watch how you talk to them. Isn't that right? And then older folk, be careful how you treat the younger people. We got to love everybody. Isn't that right? Don't go telling folk just because you've been here 15 years that I belong here. No, you don't belong nowhere. The house of God belongs to God. That's why it's called the house of God. Amen? Yeah. So he said, if my people, isn't that right? Isn't that right? Would humble themselves. Isn't that right? Yeah. And the Lord appeared and said, listen, you got to humble yourself. If my people, which are called by my name, isn't that right? Listen, the thing I like about that scripture is that God still calls us by his name, even when we're doing wrong. You still belong to God. Isn't that right? Huh? That's just like your children. Just because your children do something wrong, that don't mean they're not your child anymore. Amen. If any one of my boys do wrong, they're still my boys. But they just did wrong, isn't that right? Yeah, whatever happened in their life, they do something wrong, they're still my children. And God is saying to you today, I don't care if you did something wrong, you're still my child. And I want you to turn and come back to me, isn't that right? He said, I want you to humble yourself, isn't that right? I want you to look at 1 Peter 5. Watch 1 Peter 5. I want you to humble yourself. I want you to know that you're my people. I want you to humble yourselves. Amen? Are you there? 1 Peter 5. Watch it. Listen. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, where? 5 and 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. God's hand is mighty. Now, watch this. This hand is a hand of correction and protection. Amen? Yeah. Those of us that had children, we have had to protect our children with the same hand that we whipped them with. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? We didn't have time to go to the bushes and get a switch. But the same hand that protected them was the hand that corrected them. So watch this. God will protect you, but God will also correct you. Amen. God will also chastise you. He will chastise us. Isn't that right? God will make us get back into position. Isn't that right? Yeah. So when we read the Bible and deal with it, God said, I love you, but I'm going to protect you and I'm going to correct you. If you get out of the way, I'm going to protect you from yourself. How do you thank God that God protected us from ourselves? That we were about to mess ourselves up, but we saw the hand of God protect us from ourselves. Amen. And how many of us have gone through life and you feel and say, well, if I had went to that place or this place and you found out that you didn't go to that place and somebody got shot. Huh? Yeah, you know, when we used to party. You know, when I was out there on the party scene, I didn't go to no joint when it didn't have but one door in, one way in. That you didn't hang out there, but they would have the best time there, wouldn't it? Yeah. When you go out there, you didn't want to go to a place that just had one way in. Because if something got started, there was only one way out. Amen. So when I was hanging out, I would look out for the doors, whatnot. And I said, you know, somebody starts something in here. Then I'm going to go down that way. Amen. I didn't see none of y'all out there, did I? That ain't what y'all said last night, was it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. You want to make sure that you know. Now listen, they say, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may what? Exalt you in due time. There's a season. Amen. The Lord said, I'm choosing this time and this place to bless you. Amen. There is a season. Some of you are going through some seasons right now. Now, this is the thing. Don't ever try to understand somebody else's season, because it'll mess you up. See, they may be coming out of a season. You may be heading into a season. You might be in a season and head out of a season. But if you start...
We hope you are blessed by the podcast. You are tuned into Mount Vernon Missionary Baptist Church podcast for the week on PrayCharlotte.com. What you have heard the teaching and preaching of Senior Pastor of Mount Vernon Missionary Baptist Church, Reverend Matthew L. Browning. This podcast is an extension of the ministry where the Word of God is magnified, Jesus is glorified, and understanding is fortified. Mount Vernon Missionary Baptist Church is located at 2901 Oneida Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28269, off I-85 and North Graham Street. Our order of services are as follows. Sunday, school, 9:45. Sunday worship service, 11 a.m. Monday, 7 p.m. intercessory prayer. Wednesday, Bible study, 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. If you are interested in a CD of this message in its entirety, you can call our church between the hours of 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. Monday through Friday at 704-599-1433. Again, that's 704-599-1433. Or you can mail your request at P.O. Box 16237, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28297. That's P.O. Box 16237, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28297. Or via email at mtvernonpr@bellsouth.net. Again, if this podcast has been a blessing to you, tell a friend to go online to PrayCharlotte.com and click on the podcast and enjoy the Word of God. On behalf of our pastor, Reverend Matthew L. Browning, be reminding that this is the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it.